Canucks Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? I think I swallowed a fly for a second.
You good?
I'm okay.
You all right?
I think we're okay. Nobody's choking. We're good.
All right. It's not a water bottle being, you know, flung across.
Can we start the show again? I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this embarrassment.
That's okay. It happens. Things happen, Reach. It's all good.
Okay.
Nobody's perfect.
We're good. If you want to be a part of the show, you can. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. The Bridge Street Dunbar Lumber in Ladner is where you go on Progress Way in Tilbury's Industrial Park. More room, more product, more awesome. Details at DunbarLumber.com. So a lot to get into today as the Canucks wrap up a perfect California roadie. Their first ever perfect California roadie. Yannick Hansen will join us. We'll have a mailbag and maybe even later on. I know it's Canucks Central, but we might tee up the big Whitecaps game tonight in L.A. But the big news for today, Tanner Jeannot, 3-game suspension just handed down from the NHL Department of Player Safety.
I know it's quote-unquote only 3 games. Pleasantly surprised it was 3 games.
Yeah.
Because of my lack of confidence in the wheel of injustice that they spin at the Department of Player Safety. I wasn't sure. I kind of thought he'd get 2.
Yeah.
So I think 3. He got kicked out of the game early in the, well, you know, halfway through the first period. So he missed pretty much most of the game. So it's, in essence, a 4-game suspension. Yeah. I think that's generally right, especially when you look at how that type of punishment gets doled out. It's a chicken you know what hit. Obviously he does not have a deep history of suspensions, only been fined before, so I was pleasantly surprised he got the 3 games.
It's obviously for the hit on Brock Besser. I should have mentioned that earlier. I know we pretty much all know that, but it was for the hit on Brock Besser, a hit to the head, the NHL Department of Player Safety calling it avoidable contact, which, I mean, you watch the hit, they don't even mention that it's late. To me, it was late. You know, Besser is, there's maybe a beat, 2 beats by the time Jeannot gets to Besser after, you know, he has made the pass to Filip Hronek. So it's like fairly late on the hit, and it's directly to the head. You know, there's no amount of games that's going to make this feel better about Brock, because, you know, it's a head injury. There is an uncertainty of when he's going to be back. But the NHL Department of Player Safety, they've set such a low bar.
Yeah.
They set such low expectations that when they, like, meet expectations, it feels like they've gone above expectations. It's like Vince Vaughn's motto, motto in dodgeball, you know, just set low expectations. That's why you're always meeting the bar. And that's what the NHL Department of Player Safety has essentially done.
Yeah, it's very much like a Mad TV bit. Lowered expectations.
Yes. And this here, like, 3 games feels like at least a number that makes sense in this situation for Tanner Jeannot. Without any prior history, it's a brutal hit. A guy that, yeah, once scored 24 goals in the league, but that's now feels like a billion years ago, and he just kind of feels like a goon out there, does Tanner Jeannot. And so, tough. Hopefully Besser is all right. Let's get to it. It's the Open.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Yes, the Open, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And, you know, the latest is the Canucks are hot. They come back home, getting ready for Game 8 against the Edmonton Oilers, and have a 3-game win streak sweeping through California. And they've looked, I think, better in each leg of the trip. You know, like, the defense was probably just okay against San Jose, sort of a continuation of what we had been seeing. And then it got better against Anaheim. And then last night against the toughest opponent of the trip, the defense of the team looked at its best, looked as close to what it was last year as it has at any point of this season. But there is the question mark of what happens now if Brock Besser does miss some time. The Canucks had the day off. There has not been an update, an official update from the team on Besser. I mean, we can assume that a head injury is at least the way to describe what we saw happen to Brock Besser, even if there hasn't been official word of a concussion just yet. He's been right there with Connor Garland as far as like most consistent and top forwards for the Canucks so far this season. This is a tough loss for the team.
Yeah, it absolutely is, right? And, you know, we'll see ultimately what happens, and we'll get into what options if Besser is not going to be in the lineup soon. There is no status update. There have been no updates given by the organization. It's very hush when you ask. But when you ask, hey, is Besser feeling good? Like, you don't get, yes, he's okay. So obviously he's feeling some effects of the hit, and hopefully it is something that clears up and it's not serious at all, but we'll ultimately see how things go for him. But coming off the road trip, and you're right, like the Sharks game, I didn't love a lot of it. They were really good against the Ducks, but it's the Ducks, yeah. Right? And okay, whatever, but still clean game. The way they played 5-on-5, it was excellent, especially defensively. And even the Myers-Soucy pair was good. I know they were on the ice for a goal against, and Myers did a good job of screening Lankinen himself on that layered screen on the 3-2 goal. But I thought they played really well overall. Only the PK was some things I didn't love. But you had Besser going before that.
Yeah.
So you had a player now that was playing as well as he has, even as last year. The team was rounding into form, looking like a lot better and closer to the team we saw last year. This was the first game I looked at and said, okay, this is a playoff team they're playing, and they've been elite defensively. They flashed that elite defensive form. We didn't say that against Anaheim because it's the Anaheim Ducks. Now, obviously, you want to see them do it against even better teams and higher standard teams, but you have to build your game towards it. And given where the Canucks were with their game, it wasn't like they were going to flip a switch and just be great all of a sudden. It's kind of a gradual process to it. So you kind of wonder now, with Besser not, you know, maybe being here for a couple of games, does that kind of stunt the movement they're making here? And this is a big game coming up against the Edmonton Oilers too, as far as, you know, where Edmonton's been and how Vancouver's really trying to assert themselves early in the season and continue a start that's ended up being a good start through 12 games right now. But I just hope that Besser is okay, because how much more bad luck can this guy have, honestly? Yeah.
It's tough, man. Given what happened last year in the playoffs and how he pretty much acknowledged that he understands the blood clot sort of gives a little bit of a gray area to contract negotiations as he goes into a year where he is an unrestricted free agent. Now, not only that, like Besser, we talked about this the other day with Frank Saravalli, right on the bubble of the U.S. Team USA roster, yeah, for the Four Nations. If he misses any kind of amount of time, it's going to be tough for him to make that roster now. Like, so For Besser, a guy who's worked so hard at his game over the last little while and has really gotten himself to a consistent level that's been such a value to this team, and he had been upping his value along with that, as we've talked about, you feel for him because he's put in the work and he's earned the success that he's had on the ice lately, and it just feels like there's always something waiting to sort of put a speed bump in front of that progress.
Yeah, and so again, I just hope everything goes okay for him, because we were here talking about contract extension,
yeah,
and you know how big a contract he might be able to get here, anywhere from $60 to $70 million,
yeah,
in the total amount of the contract, which is, for a guy who's already made a decent amount, I mean, it's even more life-changing, right? It's huge. So again, we just hope the best for him. The two things that this really relates to closely, because I think one is what a lot of fans are wondering about, is who replaces Brock Besser in the lineup.
Yeah.
And the other one is, hey, another player that they needed to get going, really got going, and has scored in three straight games, in Jake DeBrusque. So maybe there is some optimism here that, yeah, despite the injury, that, hey, maybe there's an option to call up that could be exciting. And also Jake DeBrusque finally getting going.
Well, DeBrusque, well on his way to 30 goals now. still, I don't think he's still yet on pace for 30.
He's on pace for, what, 20 now?
Yeah, so he's picked up the pace here with three goals in his last three games.
This is how quickly it changes, right?
Yeah.
Like, if he scores another few goals here, he might be on pace for 40.
Yeah, it's coming. You know, I'm feeling pretty good after I maybe wasn't last week. But like, he looks like such a more confident player right now, right? different moments last night where he's taking the puck. He has options, but he wants to take the shot, feeling like he's starting to settle in as a member of this team and really understand where he fits, his role, how he can have success. And ultimately, like, yeah, he misses that chance just before he scores the goal. You know, kind of tough. You're in a battle and you just you can't get enough leverage in that battle to get the puck on net and score that goal in what was a great rebound chance. But then he doesn't quit on the play, ends up in a great spot, and, you know, makes that incredible move to score that goal. You hope that it can continue because the Canucks need that kind of scoring in their lineup on their forward group.
Well, he showed what made you so excited about the signing and the upside of the signing. He's not just the guy that has a decent shot or just tips shots in and scores ugly goals. Like, he has the full array of skills. He just hasn't really popped and had all those things going consistently enough over the course of a season. He's good at tipping pucks in. He's good at net front, right? You saw his shot. He roofed it the other night. You saw like how lethal that shot can be. And he's got nice hands. He can deke a guy out. He can tuck a puck in, go around the net the way he did. So he can score and in a variety of different ways. That's an exciting skill set to have. And this is why the Canucks made this big investment in him and why you think he's going to blow up and be a 30-goal scorer, that if he gains some consistency and stops being as streaky as he's been throughout his career, he could be a 30-plus goal scorer. Like, he has all the skills to be a guy who scores 30-plus. You see it also with his smarts and intelligence when he's engaged. You see how well he plays off the boards, and now he's showing more assertiveness as well. But can he do this more consistently? That's going to be the big question for Jake DeBrusk, because when it's not going for him, he's also been a guy who's been getting into his own head a lot. This was some of the issues he spoke about as well that he had to mature through, and the pandemic was difficult to go through as he had to, you know, work through some of those challenges, and he's had to really work on his mindset to become a bit more consistent. But that's you've seen both sides of it, what it looks like when he doesn't feel good, and what it looks like when he does feel good. And can he just smooth that out a bit?
Yeah, and you're seeing like elements of the talent of a player who was selected 14th overall, right? It's maybe something you forget a little bit, but he was one of those famed like back-to-back-to-back first-round picks that the Boston Bruins had, and he's turned out to be one of the better ones of that bunch, even if they maybe should have taken, well, he is the best of that bunch, but they should have taken Matthew Barzal, but that's another question, another conversation that most Bruins fans will forever have and take to their graves. But you're seeing the elements of what made him a 14th overall pick. You know, he does have the speed, he has the smarts, he's got some skill about him, and it's coming together. In these three games, it's gotten stronger each way, and now, you know, can that continue to build? Even on nights where he's not scoring, is he still providing and helping this team find other ways to win games? And speaking of high first round draft choices, you think about how you're going to potentially, even if it's for a short amount of time, fill Besser's spot in the lineup. Could you move Garland up to play with Miller and DeBrusk, then who plays with Pettersson? That creates that question mark. Would you like to have a right winger? Which, you know, if you're going to call back up Archdeep Baines, his left shot usually plays on the left side. Maybe that's a question mark. Jonathan Lekromäki, he's off to a great start with the Abbotsford Canucks. I know I've sort of, and we've talked about it, ideally in a perfect world, you'd like to let him marinate and really have success for a good amount of time in Abbotsford before bringing him up. But does this just present an opportunity for Lekromäki to come up and play in a pretty big spot?
Well, it's really interesting how quickly your perspective on something can change.
Yeah.
Because I'm exactly with you. And one thing we mentioned at the time when discussing Lekromäki is right now the Canucks don't have a need.
Yeah.
So why call him up right now when there isn't an acute need in the top six? You have Besser playing right wing with JT. You have Garland playing right wing with Elias Pettersson.
Yeah.
You have Sherwood crushing it on the third line with Heinen and Blueger.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Sprong's trying to find his way.
Yeah.
So where does he fit in? And not to say he doesn't have the skills, but it's like, why call a guy up to fight for a spot in minutes and just let him develop? Just let him work on his game. Don't bring him up and don't yo-yo him. Just let him do his thing. But if a need for some reason arises, and it arises for the wrong reasons because there's an injury now, or it seems to be an injury to Brock Besser, and we'll see ultimately what his status is going to be. But if he's going to be out for a few games, you could kind of use a guy like Lekromäki in your lineup.
Yeah.
And hey, the argument could also be you can just move up a guy like Daniel Sprong and give him the shot and let Kramacki do his thing and call up somebody like Arshdeep Bains. But considering how hot he's been and considering how he could really fit in nicely, especially, I think, honestly, like for all the talk about him with Pettersson, I think in this spell, putting him with DeBrusk and Miller is a spot to kind of, you can have him somewhat sheltered because they're not right now facing the tough matchups the way Pettersson is facing it. You're going to be on home ice as well for a few games here. You can really shelter him in and maybe take advantage of his shot, and you're trying to, you know, give him a bit of a taste about what's going on in the NHL. So I'm all for Lekkomäki coming up for a few games. If it's just a couple of games, get a little bit of a taste, put him into a sheltered role, let him play with JT and DeBrusk quite a bit, have him in some good situations, and try to take advantage of his shot. Maybe he scores a goal or two for you. He's hot. He's got that skill set for him. We're not asking him to be a top six player for a month or 2 months, hopefully. It's literally, can you do it for a couple of games, hopefully?
Lekkomäki has only played 7 games in Abbotsford. The team has played 11, so he hasn't played the full complement of games, had an illness to start the season. 5 goals in 7 games.
Yes.
And it's not, that leads the team, okay? Nobody else has more than 3. But the thing that stands out in the profile is 39 shots.
Yeah, he shoots the puck a lot.
That's a lot of shots.
It is. Now, it's not all positive because some of the 5-on-5 defensive play hasn't been great. And not just because of him, because of their line, but he's a -8.
Yeah.
So he's got, you know, 7 points and 5 goals, but he's also -8.
And 4 of the 5 have come on the power play.
Yeah. And hey, that's fine.
Yeah.
But just temper expectations, and this is why you wanted to keep playing, smooth your game out, work on your game, keep developing, keep getting better, gain confidence, and hopefully sometime later down in the season, maybe he comes and sticks.
Yeah.
And as time goes on, plays an increasingly bigger role for you, right? But right now, if it's even a short spell, I think it makes sense.
Well, this goes back to what Tockett mentioned earlier this week of how they like to just give guys a little bit of a taste, and it's sort of a philosophy of Patrick Aldean's. Yeah. Give guys a little bit of a taste, and then they can have some intel on what they need to work on when they go back to the AHL. The other option is maybe you give Daniel Sprong another shot.
You could.
I mean, top six.
You could, and then you call up, whether it's, you know, Arshdeep, or maybe you want to give somebody else a shout to come up and give them a shot, whether it's Olmon coming up to play down the lineup in a checking role. Like, they have options, right? So we'll see ultimately what they do, and they could easily just put Daniel Sprong up. So I don't think it's certainty, but given the context, I would like to see Lekkomäki get the call for a couple of games right now. People are asking us in the text inbox.
Yeah.
PDG. Why are we not talking about PDG? Unfortunately, PDG is injured.
Yeah.
He's missed a bunch of games here, so he is not available. Otherwise, Reach may have mentioned him at least once or a dozen times by now.
I mean, Phil DiGiuseppe would be a nice left winger to bring up to this team, you know.
Well, I mean, him and Bains would be fighting it out more, but it's also a sign, even though he's injured now, even if he wasn't, he may have not been on the radar as much.
Well, we do have some news.
Never mind. Breaking news?
It will not be Daniel Sprong that moves up into a top six role for the Vancouver Canucks, Josh.
The latest from Elliot Friedman tweeting a minute ago, hearing Daniel Sprong is on his way back to Seattle for future considerations.
Oh.
So the Daniel Sprong experiment is over a month into the season.
So much so. So Lekkomäki, come on up.
I mean, we knew it wasn't working or going smoothly for Daniel Sprong, given how many healthy scratches he got there early in the season. But surprising that this is happening as it is right now. The breaking news from Elliot Friedman, hearing Daniel Sprong on his way back to Seattle for future considerations. Now, in the past, you know, I've always wondered, given the way that this management group works, Sat, is this setting up another move of some kind? But that is to be determined for the Vancouver Canucks with this situation they currently have. We'll see what happens. But Daniel Sprong is heading back to Seattle, where he had the breakout a couple of years ago when they made the playoffs.
So the Daniel Sprong experience lasted a meager 9 games.
Yeah. So much was made of that conversation he and Rick Tockett had in the summer that convinced Sprong Vancouver was the right place for him.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and maybe the other part of it could have been too, that if it's not working here, we won't get in your way. Like, come here, and if for whatever reason it's not what you want, we'll facilitate a move for you.
We'll try to make it work.
You know, and I think sometimes when a guy signs for cheap like that too, you're giving them a chance to perhaps pursue other things if it doesn't go their way, right? Whether it's you put them on waivers or whether it is a trade, like you give them a chance to go somewhere else. And I wouldn't be surprised at all, Reach, if that was somewhat part of the conversation here when they signed Daniel Sprong. And that's why early in the season, if it was pretty clear from the coach that it wasn't going to work. And here's the thing though, right, Reach? Besser got hurt last night.
Yeah.
You're having conversations internally.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're not thinking like, hey, Sprong, let's get him up here. They're probably thinking about it and saying, maybe we should give the kid a shot instead.
Yeah.
And what does that tell you? So if you're sitting here now and don't feel like Sprong is a option for you with Besser out in the top six, is he ever going to be an option for you?
Yeah. Taka was asked about Sprong a couple of days ago, I want to say. The other day, ahead of their next game, maybe it was after practice on Wednesday in the lead up to the LA game, and you know, it's not like he had glowing things to say. It's like, yeah, we're still working on some things with Daniel and that kind of thing. 2 years ago, he scored 21 goals with the Seattle Kraken, parlayed that into a contract with the Detroit Red Wings. Obviously, end up with a value contract here, but really interesting to hear that the Canucks are moving on from Daniel Sprong for future considerations that will open up a little bit of cap space, but nothing too significant, essentially just getting a contract off the books.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we are going to talk to Yannick, but in full disclosure, we pre-taped with Yannick, so we're not going to ask him about the Daniel Sprong trade. Unfortunately, we just spoke to him right before the show. He's pretty busy on the ice teaching hockey nowadays.
Yeah, he's a big-time coach. We will talk a lot with Yannick Hansen about Quinn Hughes, though, and how he continues to level up his game and cause nightmares for opposing players as Hughes was incredible again last night. Goal and an assist continues to level up. Again, in the Canucks Central Roundup, well, the latest news on the Canucks, Daniel Sprong traded to Seattle for future considerations. And, of course, earlier today announced 3 games for Tanner Jeannot for his hit on Brock Besser. If there is more news coming around the Vancouver Canucks, we'll be here to break it.
Yeah. Somebody on Twitter said, right when you guys were pumping Sprong's tires, we were talking about maybe he's an option, literally as we were talking about him maybe being an option in the top six to get traded.
And here we are.
So funny.
Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Coming up, Yannick Hansen will join us on Canucks Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.